Ordinary Fellowship is a podcast inspired by the Puritan practice of godly conference or spiritual conversations among believers. These spiritual conversations will offer practical spiritual help for Christian living. I'm Jeremy Lee, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Matthew McLaughlin.
Hey, Jeremy.
We are mourning the wrong team losing in or winning in the Super Bowl last night.
This is a true statement.
But we have some hopefully more interesting things to talk about than that boring blowout of a Super Bowl.
I think so.
So today we're mainly coming from an article by Kevin DeYoung entitled "We Must Find a Better Way to Talk About Race." And while everything that we say will be framed about the controversy regarding race, what's going on not only in our culture, but even among churches and Christians, these ideas that Kevin DeYoung talks about on how to talk to people are applicable even in, it doesn't matter the controversy. These are good things to keep in mind and good ways to handle the conversation. But, you know, these racial issues are constantly in front of us. A certain point of view about racial justice is bombarding us. If you watch the Super Bowl, you got it on the commercials, and you're constantly bombarded with it. And if you don't embrace that view, then you're automatically labeled a racist. That's how the world is handling it, and unfortunately, some in the church are handling it in the same manner. So Matthew and I want to try to, with this article, try to help talk about these things in a better way. That's Kevin DeYoung's goal in this article as well. In the first few paragraphs, he sets the stage, basically, that he wants us to settle down. And here's what he says. I can imagine what the rejoinders might be to the last paragraph. From the left, some will say, "Of course you want us all to settle down. That's your privilege talking." And from the right, some will say, "Just what I expected, more tone police when the church is being overrun by heresy. If you think perpetual outrage and recrimination is the way forward, I suppose you're entitled to your opinion. But that doesn't mean everyone is obliged to share your opinion. For my part, I refuse to believe that talking about racial matters in a way that is reasonable, thoughtful, careful, and charitable makes one beholden to whiteness or makes one a compromised squish." Most of our listeners would probably be more tempted to call us compromised squishes than beholden to whiteness. But what we're trying to articulate today is that we want to talk about these issues, as Kevin DeYoung said, reasonably, thoughtfully, carefully, and charitably. I think these are all Christian virtues. They ought to characterize all of our conversations, and they certainly should characterize any conversations that we have about race. But as we've noted before, you don't see this kind of Christian virtue or Christian character happening in Twitter or on social media very often. And, you know, I've been guilty of being less than charitable and all those things. And sometimes in the blogs and the video and the podcasts that are put out, they're less than charitable to fellow Christians. And so this is what we want to encourage today, especially among Christians, among the church, where people differ. We want to be able to talk about these things in a good way, where we're actually listening to each other and responding to comments. I don't know about Matthew, but he can comment for himself. But I've listened to several podcasts when they'll have a proponent of critical race theory. And if you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. It's basically, you can see it on Super Bowl. all the commercials and things that were promoting racial justice came from that viewpoint. And then you have another person who's against it. what tends to happen is they talk over each other. They're really not even talking about the same thing. The person that is opposed to critical race theory is talking on a philosophical level, theological level, while the person who is advocating critical race theory is usually talking on a more practical level about helping people who are hurting. And they're generally talking past people. And this really, it's not helpful. We got to be talking about the same thing. So this is the goal of what we want to do, is make sure that we're, because one of the things that DeYoung says is we need to be careful. It's not careful if we're talking about two different things. So we need to make sure in our discussions we're talking about the same thing and not talking past each other and all that. So anyways, I say this by way of introduction. I don't know if that's your experience with podcasts when there's two alternative viewpoints that they talk past each other, but
yeah, I think that would be accurate to describe it that way. Is everyone is more interested in making their point than in actually having a conversation.
Yeah. And back to the part about being compromised squish, Matthew and I are not saying that you can't oppose these wrong ideas that are coming out of critical theory and critical race theory specifically. We certainly are opposed to the ideas that are coming out, but being opposed to them doesn't mean you have to be perpetually outraged.
Right. And I think the other thing is, if you spend your life being perpetually outraged, seeking for ideological purity, you end up getting the hierarchy of your thought out of order. And so, and the reality is, as a Christian, I need to make sure that my thought process is ordered correctly. And while fighting the culture war is, there's validity to it, there's so many stats lately that say the number of atheistic thought and what's classified as the nuns are rising. And when we spend all of our time arguing and fighting about culture war, we can only fight about certain things. And so we lose the opportunity to speak into the culture, which with the gospel, which is what the culture actually needs.
Right. And I think you and I have talked about this not on the podcast, but one of the things that happens when we're so focused and we're perpetually outraged about everything that's going on in the culture and the heresy that's in the church, when that becomes our sole focus, and again, those things are important, but we need balance, because pastors and Christians are called to refute the wrong ideas that are in the world and that creep into the church. You'll get no argument from me that you're just supposed to let this stuff go on.
Right.
I think we do need to stand against it. But it's a matter of focus, because when we just focus on that and are perpetually outraged about this, we miss the gospel opportunities that the cultural ideas that are current open up.
Right.
And just one example that I gave you, you know, when it comes to social justice, there's a lot of guilt. There's guilt because people who are fighting for social justice never feel like they do enough to really get to this place where there's no social justice. And then, of course, there's the idea of white guilt. The gospel is obviously a remedy for that guilt.
Right.
And so the critical race theory and the ideas that are going on, being promoted in our world and culture, while they are bad, there are points of opportunity for the gospel. And as Christians, we are supposed to refute the wrong ideas in the world, but that's not our only mission. We also need to be evangelizing. So we've got to keep balance, because we don't want to spend all our time yelling about these issues and never look at where the gospel can provide that opportunity, or where that opportunity is for the gospel to make inroads with that person. Guilt is just one example of ways we can use the gospel. This is a long introduction, but that's why we want to talk about what Kevin Young is discussing here. It's not just a matter of being nice. It's a losing of focus and so many other things. So you better go ahead with the ideas he promotes, or
right.
I'll be talking about this forever. So
I understand. So DeYoung lays out this sentence, and then we'll get into the ideas. What he says is that even the world can't talk well about racial matters. So the good news is this. Even though the church isn't talking well, it means it's not too late for grace-filled, truth-loving followers of Jesus to show the world a more excellent way. And he's going to offer three suggestions that we want to take some time to talk through. What is that more excellent way? The first idea that he lays out and we want to spend some time on is focus on ideas, not labels. This simply means this. We have a tendency to want to label everything. And when we label it, we create these, I guess a good way to, we create boogeymen. We create things that we call everything that, and instead of figuring out what somebody actually thinks and believes, we just attach a label to it and we make an assumption based upon the label.
Yeah.
So Jeremy, let's spend some time talking about why is it important to focus on ideas and not just the labels?
Well, one reason he talks about in the article is because if you focus on the label, then it becomes spending time arguing about whether the label is accurate or not.
Right.
So rather than and this happens when it comes to racial issues, when you're talking about critical race theory, people will hold to ideas that are from critical race theory and then say they don't believe in it. I heard one podcast where they were talking about this guy, about critical race theory, and he said, which critical race theory? Because there's so many of them. So the point that DeYoung is making is that the labels can become a complete distraction. Yeah, just a complete distraction. So he's saying focus on ideas. So one of the ideas from critical race theory is that white people are inherently racist. You can deny that you believe in critical race theory, but if you believe that white people are inherently racist, you hold to that idea whether you want to admit it or not.
Right.
I think one of the ideas that he's getting across here is that the labels just become a distraction. And if you talk about the ideas, you get to the reality. So this is one of the ways where he said earlier that we need to be careful. This is a way to be careful and actually deal with the issues and not the label.
Right. He makes the comment. He says, too often we think we're fighting about the gospel or fighting about whether we should love and listen to minority brothers and sisters. But in reality, we are fighting about how to define critical race theory.
Yeah. And I don't, like he says, he's no expert, neither me and you.
Right.
And I don't want to be an expert in critical race theory. I don't want to get in a discussion about whether it's critical race theory or not.
Right.
That doesn't really matter. Let's talk about the ideas. And the other thing that happens is these labels are used to dismiss people, especially from the world's perspective. If you don't embrace this way of talking about race, then you're a racist. And then on the right, there's a tendency that if you talk about race at all, then you must be a social justice warrior or Marxist. I don't think either one of those are good things to happen because they just kill the conversation. They don't help people talk. I mean, if you're trying to talk to somebody and they immediately label you a racist, where's that conversation going to go? It's going to be you defending yourself from the accusation. I think this is really, really good advice. Talk about the ideas. And Kevin DeYoung is not the only one that said this. Neil Shenvey, who is an opponent of critical race theory, very outspoken and very... I really appreciate the things that I've heard from him on this issue. Neil Shenvey has essentially said the same thing. Not to focus on the ideas and not the labels. And because there'll be distractions and they're just a way of labeling people to dismiss them, depending on your point of view. So this to me is great.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we spend so much time and so much energy and capital trying to put everybody in a box and then talk about the box that we miss the opportunity to have conversations about the actual issues. And in reality, we could find ourselves having more agreement with someone we think we were going to disagree with on everything if we would simply talk about the issue, talk about what leads us to the conclusion we come to, rather than just assuming that we know what leads them there because we have a conclusion.
Right. And you know as well as I do, nobody fits into the box ever.
Right.
When you box somebody in with that label. I mean, this happens theologically too.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about doctrine and things like that, somebody will label you one thing and they assume all these things about you because they've heard this about this doctrine or this teaching. So they've got you in this box. They never bother asking you, never bother talking to you. They just assume that you fit perfectly in this little box. Right. Happens in politics too. If right. you vote... whichever party you vote for, you're assumed that you 100% agree with everything that party does.
Right.
And you're put in that box, and then you're just dismissed as a liberal or a right-wing nut job or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
It doesn't lead to good conversations. It just leads to dismissing people.
Yep, it does. Okay, so the second thing DeYoung brings up is, he says, approach the conversation with intellectual integrity and personal maturity. So, what does this mean? First, don't take everything personally. Don't turn every disagreement up to an 11. Secondly, whenever possible, isolate the issue you mean to talk about. So, Jeremy, how can we help our listeners understand what this means?
Well, don't take everything personally is very, very difficult in our culture. I don't know why everybody takes what they believe as, if you attack something they believe, if you say that something they believe is wrong or incorrect, they take it personally. They're personally offended that you attack them as a person. This, if you make your ideas your identity, you're never going to be able to talk about anything, right? Because it's always going to be a personal attack against you. We need to realize that our ideas, our beliefs inform us, but ideas are up for debate.
Right.
Ideas are up for discussion. It's not right to attack someone personally.
Right.
So in a discussion, you shouldn't be attacking them as a person. That's a logical fallacy, an ad hominem, by attacking the person instead of the ideas. The ideas ought to be up for debate in order to not just... When you debate and discuss ideas, there's two possibilities. Either you're going to be more confirmed in what you already believed, or you're going to change your mind to a superior belief. So it's a win-win, and we need to be careful not to take our ideas as who we are as a person.
I think that is a large part of a broader conversation that we need to have, maybe on the podcast, but definitely in culture in general. And that is, we don't understand identity. We don't understand what makes us who we are. And so we determine that the idea is what we believe is what makes me me, and in reality, that's not what makes me who I am. And so,
and it's a relatively new idea of identity,
right? And I think that's a large part of our struggle that we have to work through. So,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
Go ahead. The other thing, don't turn up every disagreement to 11. This comes back to our culture. We divide people up into good and bad people, and you're either 100% good or 100% evil. There is no in-between. There is no mixture of those things. So if someone disagrees with you there and you are on the right side of history, then obviously they're one of the evil people, when it just gets turned up to 11. this is a the other issue. We've turned words into violence,
right?
And so now words are violence, but it seems not only we've went from being overly sensitive, thinking words are violence, and trying to cancel people's speech, and now people are actually being violent.
Right.
We see it in our streets and on the things that have been happening in the news. So I don't know how those two things go together, really, where we're so sensitive that words are violence that now we're acting in violent ways. And I'm hearing people justify mob violence because this group has been violent for years and years, so apparently it's okay for this other group to be violent now, because we've been dealing with this other group being violent for so many years. It's about time the other side is violent.
Right.
Well, I think but again, you can't say anything to anybody without your words being taken as violence.
Right.
I don't know how those two things go together. But right. We shouldn't act like that.
Right. I think a lot of it goes back to what you were just talking about. If we truly believe that this is every conversation is a battle between good and evil. That is, I'm either on the right side, or it's not that the other side is wrong or different, or we disagree, but rather they're evil. Then ultimately, the natural way God has designed us is we desire to fight evil. So therefore,
why would we compromise with evil?
Right. So we don't want no rational person wakes up and goes, I don't want to be on the right side. I want to be on the evil side. Because even if you spend the time you study history, everybody who was behaving in horribly evil ways thought they were doing what was right.
Yeah.
So I think that's a large part, and that's something we have to strive for. And that goes back into the first one, where if I'm sticking labels on somebody and then the label, I attach a definition to the label, and then I never have the conversation. So then it's easy to turn the disagreement up to 11. But then he also says another one is to recognize when people change their minds or they nuance their views. And I think that's a big deal. I don't think we understand what the nuance actually means. We don't understand that it's easier for us to believe that the world is black and white or good and evil, not that it's shades of gray. And so that I can give some ground in places because it's not simply all believing all of the one or all of the other.
Right. And like the overall point DeYoung is making is that we need to have intellectual integrity and personal maturity. And all of this takes personal maturity.
Right.
So if you are immature, and I think all of us are guilty of that at times.
Right.
Certainly we've lashed out at people on Facebook.
Yeah. So the second part of this point that we want to talk about is, we've mentioned before, whenever possible, isolate the issue you mean to talk about. He goes on and he says, don't make the issue about gospel fidelity if you're talking about interpreting American history.
Oh, my. And that this is so important, because everybody wants to make every single issue a gospel issue.
Yes.
And if every single issue is a gospel issue, then
There is no gospel issues.
It's just all gospel issues. I don't have much more to say about that, because
right,
likely lead down paths that we'll get hate mail for.
I understand. Maybe. Well, I guess what I'll say is this is what goes back to his whole point. We need to have the intellectual honesty to talk about what we're actually talking about, and not talking about it in a way that we're seeking to frame everything into our overall ideological outlook. That is, if it has to do with history, then we have that conversation. If it has to do with the gospel, then we have that conversation. But I can't conflate the two. I can't think that everything doesn't matter to everything, like Jeremy said. So yeah. He goes on and finishes, I think this is important for us to put out there, let's show ourselves as Christian to be more logically rigorous and definitionally precise than the world. We don't confuse correlation with causation, and don't look for the worst examples on the other side to prove the rightness or the righteousness of your side. That is, we need to be precise. That means we need to know what we're talking about. And here comes the hard part for all of us. That means if I don't know what I'm talking about, I shouldn't talk. I just need to be quiet and listen and learn before I speak. And just because I have an opinion doesn't mean my opinion needs voice if I don't understand what I'm actually saying.
Yeah.
So.
There's a lot of good things.
Right.
We could spend a whole podcast talking about each sentence and that.
We could.
Thing that he says, but.
But for time, let's move ahead to the third one, which is be willing to work with a few common sense both and propositions. So, what he's saying is, he starts off by saying, there's nothing more logically lazy than to simply try to find, basically to find an out. But, there are times when that is the right thing for us to do. So his example is to say, I'm not a liberal, I'm not a conservative, I'm just a Christian.
And that's the attitude he doesn't
like. Right, I think he doesn't like. But then he goes on, he says, having said that, it seems to me there are a few basic both-and propositions that could turn down the temperature of our rhetoric, while also pushing the racial conversation toward greater clarity and usefulness. So, he gives two examples. One, we may acknowledge that systemic injustice can exist, while also asking for evidence that in whatever particular situation we are studying, it does exist. So let's start with that there.
And he goes on to say, to like give an example of the conversation, I acknowledge that structural racism could play a part, but let's take a closer look at the evidence for that claim.
Right.
So he's not, so what he's doing is saying, it may, I'm willing to talk about it. He's open to the idea, but he's not just going to accept it because someone says this is what happens.
Right.
He wants to see evidence
right.
of that. To me, this looks like a respectful way of talking about it. Now, of course, some on the far left probably would have a problem even with this statement, and those on the far right would say that you're a compromised squish for even admitting the possibility that there could be systemic racism. But most people, I think you could have a decent conversation about these issues if you just ask. I had a conversation with a guy at work, a person of color. He is no fan of Donald Trump, and he was saying that he was racist. And I was asking him, so what things make you think he's racist? He didn't yell at me for oppressing him with my white ideas of logic or anything like that. He just gave me some things that he thought made Donald Trump look like a racist. And he wasn't angry at me. I wasn't angry at him. We had a decent conversation. And later on, we talked about something silly. So I think these conversations can be had. Because essentially what I was asking him for was give me evidence that Donald Trump was a racist. Don't just say it because it's a talking point. I want to know, have you thought about this? Where do you see it? What examples can you give me? And I pushed back a little bit on some of the things he said, but it was a cordial conversation. Neither one of us were angry. It wasn't turned up to 11. We didn't take personal offense at that or anything like that. And so I think DeYoung's right that we can discuss these issues in a reasonable way. The other example that he gives. Later on, he says, likewise, isn't it possible that American history is both worse than most white people think when it comes to race and still a story with much to celebrate and be thankful for? I love that question because it's balanced. It's true. You know, both sides are guilty of simplifying history and picking sides rather than telling the whole truth. There's a lot of ugly history of humankind, not just the United States, but there's a lot of ugly history because we're sinners. Mm-hmm. And we do evil, wicked, and sinful things. But because of the good providence of our God and because of the common grace of God, there are also a lot of positive things in history worth celebrating. So both of those things are true. and we can speak about both of them in a way and discuss these things among others without, you know, I don't think you have to hate America or idolize America.
Right.
Neither one of those are good and right things to do. So we need to be careful of that. And by discussing it in these both and kind of ways, we're leaving room for a center. I mean, I know what Kevin said at the beginning of this, that he hates those those things. I don't think that's what we're saying. But.
No. I think he goes on and he says, and I think this is a good paragraph for us to kind of wrap this idea up on, is that these both-and propositions won't remove all our different emphasis and suspicions, but they might help us toward inch towards one another in finding common ground. That is, if we want to find common ground. The incentives in church discourse are unfortunately the same as in political discourse. There is more to be gained by dealing with racial issues in broad categories of absolute light and darkness. Nuance and precision don't get you much, except the expectation of being shot at from all sides. And so whether it's this, or we've talked about, as we frame this, we're talking specifically about race, but this applies to so many other things.
Theological controversies.
Theological controversies, you know, ethical things to a certain degree.
Politics.
So but the idea that what DeYoung is saying and what we both think is good is that nuance is important. It's important to have precision. It's important to also be intellectually honest and to make sure that even though you're not going to agree with everyone, the reality is you're seeking to be honest both in how you say what you say, but also you're honest in how you receive what they say. And so I think one of our struggles is we assume way too many facts that aren't in evidence. We assume so many things, and we assume things based upon a variety of factors, when in reality, the only thing we should acknowledge is what's stated. And I think that would greatly tone down the temperature.
Yeah. Be careful about, in other words, you're saying be careful about making assumptions.
Right.
About things that weren't said.
Right. Assumption, and just based whether it's what they look like, where they come from, their background. So we just assume facts that, well, of course they think that. Well, did they actually say they believe that? As any simple example, I mean, there are assumptions people make because of your background. Coming from an independent church background, there's an assumption that's made. Maybe it's true and maybe it's not. But the reality is that that's where we get ourselves in trouble. And so we need to be careful.
Yeah. And I think, like what he said at the beginning, that this is all about, well, I summarized it. This is about discussing things with Christian virtue in right. love to our neighbors. We may learn some things. They may learn some things. The hope is that in discussing these things, rather than appearing as red in the face, veins popping out of our neck, we might appear as loving Christians.
Right. I think
even when we have to be critical.
Right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being critical when critical is called for. I think I heard one of my friends was talking, and it just kind of stuck in my head ever since he said it. So we'll finish with this thought. John 13:35 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The distinguishing characteristic of a Christian is that we love one another. And I think we spend far too often trying to be right and not enough time seeking to love one another. And loving one another doesn't mean, as Jeremy said, that we don't have disagreements. Love brings disagreements, but love affects how we have those disagreements.
And love may mean, in certain instances, pointing out bad ideas.
Right. That's not unloving, but it is unloving to
assume the worst.
Right, everything we've talked about. So help as we do. We encourage our listeners to also seek to strive to love one another. But for now, we thank you for listening to this episode of Ordinary Fellowship, a podcast ministry of Two Rivers Community Church. For more information about Two Rivers, you can find it on our website at www.tworiverscc.org. We look forward to your questions, your comments, and even that dreaded hate mail at ordinaryfellowship@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook at Ordinary Fellowship. But for now, we thank you for listening to this episode of Ordinary Fellowship, where we strive to have spiritual conversations for practical Christian living.